Captain Kirk goes to space for real, and I'm jealous. We'll find out how many people are really happy with their doctor visits. Not many. You'll be surprised how many of us get zero exercise. And a shocking survey about lying on your resume. Stick with us. It's time for Older and Wiser. Hey, everybody. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, joined once again by my friend Susan Sikora up there in Northern California. Hey, Susan. Hello, Susan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Come in, Susan.
I'm here.
It's like talking to William Shatner out in space. Hello, William. Are you there? Yeah. Bill. We saw the news this week and saw the video, too. William Shatner, age 90, goes to space aboard Jeff Bezos's little ship called the Blue Origin. Not really in deep into space, but right on the edge. So I guess it was a pretty exciting experience for him and all the folks on that little aircraft. What would you do that, Susan?
No. You know what? I have to tell you, I know this is not politically savvy, but I have no interest in going up in a spaceship.
Oh, it's not political. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. It's just whether you're interested or not. And this just isn't something that turned you on.
It's, you know what? I'm sure it's dramatic, but I think it's a lot of prep and a lot of angst and everything to get up there and then see it. I'm sure once you're there, it's heart-stopping. As I said, not, you know, if you're in your 90s, that's probably not a good thing. But I think it's great that they took him. That was smart, you know. Yeah. I mean, the guy from Star Trek, of course. I didn't watch Star Trek, so that does, you know, that's kind of lost on me. Yeah. But I see the, you know, I see the PR value. Here's what I don't like about the whole thing. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
I'm not that interested in watching a lot of the rich and privileged do their fancy things that I'm never going to be able to do anyway.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I've lost my eyes glaze over at that stuff anymore, you know?
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it in some respects. With all the things we need to worry about in the world, taking rich people on little trips up to see the world from high above does feel a little frivolous, doesn't it?
This is not something the average person can afford to do, and it's not something the average person would do because Jeff Bezos says, come here, because he doesn't know most of you unless you order from Amazon, and then he still doesn't know most of you.
He doesn't know.
He's got more money than God, so I guess he should have the money to get a little closer to God, I suppose. I don't know. It was nice. It was interesting. He went up. He came down. I think what he said was meaningful. He didn't miss or waste the opportunity. But
it's an interesting point that you bring that up, that he didn't waste the opportunity. William Shatner, at least, he came back. And he reacted in the same way I think I would have reacted, sort of with some awe. I would have been dazzled by what I had just seen. And when I landed, I want to talk about that. But as you saw in the video, the others, the youngins on the trip, were popping champagne and squirting each other and creating a... They were just jumping around like they'd gotten off a ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, but it was probably perfectly cool.
Yeah, but when you're 90 or you're older like you and I, you
we're not look, 90, Bob.
Well, we're in our... We're older, 60s, late 60s.
We're older and wiser. We're grown-ups, but no, we're not close to 90 yet. Now, who knows if we'll even make it there? You know what I'm saying? It's just, I just feel like I'm glad they did it. It's fine. It was in the news for one day. I don't want to see this over and over again all weekend. I mean, I've seen it. It's fine.
Do you think there's value at all in...
You're going to space?
Well... In getting a perspective on our world in such a tangible way, to be able to look and realize that we are really tiny specks, and all the things that we worry about seem awfully insignificant when you're seeing the blackness of space above and the big blue marble below.
Yeah, first of all, we've seen this big blue marble before, number one. Number two... I think it's valuable. I think when they go up and they do scientific experiments that literally translate later into something we can use to maybe fight disease or cure some other disease, I think that's useful. I'm not saying that. But in terms of making us more aware of the environment through William Shatner. I think that's probably, it probably worked for some. I'm more impacted by somebody like Greta Thunberg, this young girl that goes around and says, you know, stop wasting things and crapping up the earth, basically.
Despite all of that, I would have enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed the experience. Okay. And wanted to feel that feeling. Yeah. If I felt safe, you know, I don't want to blow up on the top of a rocket, you know.
Yeah, well, but let me tell you something.
He took a chance. He could have.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing that does impact me, I interviewed Krista McAuliffe years ago when I was in Boston on the air there.
The Challenger, which exploded on takeoff.
Yeah, yeah. That was back in the, I guess it was late 80s. I can't remember the exact date.
So what you're saying is none of this is foolproof and anything can happen.
You know what? Can I ask? Here's the thing. NASA's sending people up, astronauts up, and they're doing this, you know, and doing the stuff that's going to be useful for all of us. They're doing that. That Jeff Bezos is going up, I want to see what you're going to do with it. Why can't you take that money in the meantime and help us solve the homeless problem? I mean, it's his money. He can do with it what he wants. I understand that. But it's just that there's so many problems down here that we need to look at. Why are you spending all that money on that? I mean, because he has it, he can.
No, it's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, that is. And Jeff Bezos has his own phone call.
That's not me.
There was Jeff calling. He doesn't like this podcast.
yeah, he's calling us. He's calling us. He's calling us because I ordered some.
He's saying my Amazon
hat accessories from Amazon. Right.
My account's been canceled, I think. Yeah. You're not the only critic. George Takei, who played Sulu on Star Trek, also didn't think this was such a great thing. Did you see that too?
Yeah, I did see that. I've met George Takei, nice man, and I don't know what their thing is, but that's between them. Yeah, I know.
They've been feuding for a while. Apparently,
well, they say he also says it's a phony thing. It might be a PR stunt. But to be honest with you, I don't care.
He wondered if they were using William Shatner just as a guinea pig to try to determine how space travel would affect an older person like that.
Well, wait and see if Jeff Bezos comes out with any scientific test results, but I have a feeling I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
I think it was a nice opportunity for him. I'm not saying he was he had any malice in the intent, but it was good PR for Amazon.
Good PR. All right. Also this week, this item in PR Newswire, the new survey finds that 3 in 4 Americans do not leave their doctor's office on a positive note. I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Doctor's offices can be daunting, I guess, in that you're in such a rush to get through the appointment. They don't have much time, and it's hard to get an appointment. When you get one, you better slap out all this information and get your response as quickly as possible. So I guess it's most people leave feeling kind of crummy, like they don't know what they got. Have you ever had that at the doctor's office?
I have the feeling sometimes, especially if it's I don't go to the doctor often. I mean, I hope that remains the same, but that's also part of my choice, and I hope it doesn't bite me in the hiney later. However, and also getting a primary, by the way, if you back up a step, that's tough these days.
It is.
That said, when I have gone to a doctor who maybe when I meet the person is usually they're younger than I am at this point. If they're too old and doddering, I'm thinking, yeah, are you keeping up with stuff? If they're too young,
that's a great question right there.
I'm saying if you're too young, you may not hear what I'm telling you. If I'm telling you I have a pain in my hip and it's arthritis, you know what that is. You've treated people with it. You probably don't know what it feels like. The odds are. There's a feeling that I wonder if she understood. And then also.
Before we move on from the age thing, I think that's a real interesting topic. I used to always feel like I wanted an old doctor who had more experience and has seen it all. I didn't want some young kid out of college. Mm-hmm. And now, as I've gotten older, my attitude has sort of flipped.
I want somebody in the middle.
I want someone younger who has the knowledge about newer treatments and isn't handing out the same old pills and stuff that they've been handing out for years and years.
Right. So, the only thing I find, I'll tell you what I do find about going to a doctor that I really hate. They are rushed. So part of this is endemic in the way the system is, and until the system changes quite a bit, they have a certain amount of minutes that they have to move people through.
Right.
And I've heard that from doctors.
According to this survey, only 24% of people say they don't even remember what the doctor said following a visit. Isn't that crazy? And I totally understand why, because when you are sitting there talking, unless you are taking copious notes...
Right. That's that right there.
You got to do it.
Stop right there.
Take notes.
Why can't you? You know, you can get a little bunch of pads in the dollar store, and you can get a pen there, too. So for $2, you can stop at the dollar store, get that, put it in the car, and then when you go into the doctor's office, take one of those little pads in and write down what the doctor's saying. And if the doctor goes too fast, you say, could you slow down? I'm just trying to copy this down.
That's sometimes the other thing. Don't let him... go so fast and say a bunch of stuff that you don't understand. Don't
or
nod your
that
head.
Again.
Yeah. If you don't get it, say, I don't understand what you just said.
Yeah.
Explain to me. And
yeah,
get
they don't
it.
Have time for explanations. We're back to the time thing. Because the system means they have to move a certain amount of patients through in a certain amount of minutes.
Here's the other thing, too. I think you need to do a little homework and prepare before you go to the doctor.
Yes.
So if you've got some issue like you're not sure about, Google it. Learn what you can about it. If you're taking medications, Google those medications. Know what they do. And then when you go to the doctor, have your questions ready. Write them down. I happen to put them on my phone in a little list, but you could put them on a notepad, as you suggest. And so that you have the things you want to ask that doctor, and you put them on the list, and you get those questions answered.
If you know what I do now when I go to the store, and I only run in very quickly because usually I have things delivered, and I'm still staying out of the stores when I can. But when I go in, I run in with a mask, and I've got my stuff, and I email to myself on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I email the list there.
Yeah.
So why can't you email your notes to your doctor?
I do think the business of leaving the office not understanding is something that can be at least improved upon with homework and preparation before you go.
I agree.
All right, next up, a new survey reveals that 39.4% of Americans never exercise. Not surprised. How about you? Were you surprised with this statistic?
What?
39%.
Are you talking to me?
39% of people don't exercise. They just sit there in the chair.
Yeah, I've been sitting a lot. And I have to tell you, but here's the point. When I can, I swim.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes right now with COVID still happening, and I don't know what the situation is. I have an indoor pool. When I have an indoor pool accessible to me, then I go to that. I haven't been at that in over a year, almost 2 years now. But I have used the pool at my apartment complex. There's two pools. They're heated.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Except, wait a minute. Here's the point. The point is it's got to be easy to do. So one pool, the heater broke. The other pool, it's fine, but then now it's cooler.
All right. Okay, you got complications. And we all have complications about how our exercise is going. So,
well, yeah, but that's wait a minute. You're dismissing the complications, and I'm saying it's not just, give me the cookies, I'll sit on the couch and watch TV. There is that. There's that. I acknowledge it. But it's not all the time. Sometimes I think I'd like to go swim. It's too cold.
Okay, so what you're saying is you'd like to exercise, but you can't. Because of complications.
Right.
All right.
And I don't have a lot of room, and I'm not going to buy exercise machines.
I didn't suggest you should defend yourself for not exercising. I would just, looking at the statistic, 39.4% of Americans say they never work out or have any exercise of any sort. I'm not really surprised by that.
39.4.
You don't think that's an accurate, the point four is important.
I bet you, there's probably a lot of people lying. You're lucky if 39% do work out.
It may be a much a larger percentage.
I don't trust this survey.
You know, you think it's more?
I think most people probably don't.
Well, and
even
also,
in California.
What does it mean to get exercise? Like some of us may say, well, I go to the store and I walk around the aisles with my cart. Isn't that exercise? So
that's true.
Yeah.
When I go into the store, I do walk around. I walk over to the refrigerator to pour myself, you know, a glass of water or something, cold water. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is that exercise? Mm-hmm. I mean, it all sort of counts. That's why everybody's
and
got these.
There's
these
a certain amount of bicep action required to lift the remote control. and a cell phone.
Now we're being ridiculous. Mm. But I did buy some hand weights, and they were too heavy, so I sold them instead of sending them back. I sold them at a nice deal for somebody, and I bought a new set that was lighter.
What are hand weights going for? How much they cost these days?
Oh, golly, I think these were about $20 for the set.
According to this survey, the least active states are Mississippi and Tennessee, where 65% say they don't work out. Okay. Listen, it's hot in the summer, hot down there in the summer, and it's cold in the winter and rainy. You know, it's hard to get out of the house.
If you can walk comfortably, and I used to do that quite a bit years ago. I used to walk 4 miles a day, at least 5 or 6 times a week. I had these walking tapes a friend of mine gave me, and they worked really well. And as long as I wasn't thinking, oh God, how much longer, I had the music going in my ear, and it was stuff that I liked, you know, and I walked there and back, and I always felt better for it. I was wearing out sneakers. I literally was wearing out running shoes doing this, just walking.
Yeah, walking is great if you can do it.
But
you've
got a
neighborhood
where you can do it.
I'm sure a lot of people live in neighborhoods where it's not even safe to walk. So
that's one thing.
Yeah, that's one thing.
And the other thing is, if you get arthritis, you're not going to go out and walk. If you're in pain, it's not going to be much of a walk.
Well, and it's harder for older people. You know, getting back to the not safe to walk. I mean, if you're living alone and you're an older person and you're walking around the neighborhood, I can see why you'd feel a little vulnerable. So it's possible that you get less and less comfortable with that sort of thing. The most active states are Minnesota and California. In those states, 18% to 20% of people say they don't have any exercise. Minnesota, I don't understand. It's freezing cold up there in the winter.
I don't get that either. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're skiing or sledding or I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, I kind of get California. There's just so much outdoor opportunities here.
Yeah, I was going to say they could shovel snow, but now we have snow blowers. I mean, that's not even a good idea to go out there all the time, especially if you don't exercise. Then you go out there with a shovel. Hello?
Yeah, you can give yourself a nice heart attack is what you can do there.
You could.
According to this, 54% of those who don't work out are women, 45% are men. I don't know.
I'd like to know. I have one question about the women. That 54%, did you say?
54% of women say they don't get any.
I wonder, out of that 54% in that little Venn diagram section, how many of the women in there are also responsible for things like even just keeping the house clean and keeping the laundry done and all of that?
Yeah. I'm sure they have lots of other things to do. And all that work of loading the laundry, that's probably some
just
sort
doing
of
it
exercise,
up and down the
right?
steps or vacuuming sure. or whatever. I mean, yeah.
Something
that's,
good it, there happening.
It's not preparing for the Boston Marathon, but it is moving around, and it's also not sitting on the couch eating chips.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Finally, we want to talk about this last survey. And the question is, have you ever lied on a resume? Have you ever faked a resume in order to get a job? And your answer is what, Susan? No.
My answer is no.
You've never done it?
Nope. And before you start looking at me like I'm Mother Teresa, which I probably, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Or that I'm Catholic and scrupulous, which I am a little bit.
Yeah.
It's more practical than that, because eventually, if you say to them, this is a ridiculous example, but let me be dramatic just to make the point. If I tell you that I'm an accountant and I'm not, and you hire me to do
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you're saying you're an accountant when you're not an accountant. But have you ever said maybe you're more experienced than you really are?
Well, if I tell you I'm an accountant and I'm not, I am doing that.
Yeah, we're
splitting atoms here. Look. If you lie, there's people who went to college and dropped out and they say, I attended such and such a university. If they say they got a degree from such and such a university and they did not, that would be a lie. But the point is, this can be checked.
It can be checked and you'll get caught and then you'll lose the job, but you will have worked for a while. I mean, I hate the idea
Wait, You're assuming I would get hired. That doesn't even assume you're going to get hired. What it assumes, what it does say is that if this can be checked, they could find out before. They could find out and not tell you they found out. They could just say, sorry, we're going in a different direction, heard that line, and you don't know why. And they could share it with somebody else. So it might hurt you along the way and you don't even find out why. I just don't think it makes sense to lie.
Yeah, I agree that it's not the right thing to do. That's for darn sure.
Well, it's not the right thing to do, but it's also not practical when you think about it. It's not practical.
Because you're going to get caught.
Well, because you might not, okay? But eventually, the possibility is always there that you could be caught. If you get the job and they find out later, that's going to be an uglier scene, perhaps, and embarrassing, and you might be asked to leave right away. They could ignore it, too. You just don't know what's going to happen.
According to this survey, young people are the most likely to stretch the truth on resumes. 71% of those 18 to 24 admitted to having lied on a resume. That's the youngins are.
I'm budging. Not surprised because they travel in a lot of social media, which is not based in truth. That often.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah. They're used to fluffing up the truth, right?
Fluffing up, yeah. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want. Embellishing, fluffing up, lying. It's all the same if it's not what happened is on your resume. I think people get careless and they think they can get away with it. Or you have a friend who says, you know what, I said this and nobody checked. Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. Well, and it must be working in order for so many people to be fudging the truth on their resumes. The energy and utilities industry sees the most dishonest job applications with 89% of job seekers exaggerating.
Well, and sometimes people, I mean, they lie about other things. To me, if you're going to lie on a resume and I'm hiring you, what else are you going to lie about when you're here?
The good news is the most trustworthy candidates are teachers, with 70% of educators telling it straight on their resumes.
That's correct, and I'm not surprised. And guess what?
Well, it's possible those are the easiest to check too, right? I mean, because anybody can go back to the last organization that the person worked for and double check them.
You can, and you can also go back to somebody's college records. I mean, all that is there. But teachers generally don't. They shouldn't. That's for sure. And guess what? I used to be.
A teacher, which is why you feel so strongly about this issue.
Well, it's not that. It's practical. I don't have time to undo the web.
I get it. I do. You don't want to have to undo the web. The thing is, in these times when getting a job is so difficult, and you are submitting your resume opposite hundreds of others. If you are completely honest about what you're, doing and the absolute truth is there, it's possible that you just don't stack up to the others. And the truth also is that do they even care? I don't think that anyone has ever checked whether I graduated from college or not, but they needed to see it printed on my resume. I could have gone all through my entire career with that on my resume, and I could have saved my family a lot of money by just not going to college.
Would you have done it?
I wouldn't have. Because it feels wrong. Yeah, it feels wrong.
I mean, it's a hypothetical. I just think, if you're the kind of person who'd lie on a resume, you might lie about other things. Maybe not. Maybe it's just that one thing because you've had an uphill battle getting a position that you want. But I think it's still there. It's always something you have to worry about. It's like looking over your shoulder every minute after a while.
So your bottom line on this one is that you would not lie on a resume to get a job.
No, have not and would not. No.
Good girl. Good girl, Suzanne. Well, good girl.
Strong woman.
Strong woman.
Honest woman.
All right. What is your final thought for the day?
Tell the truth. It's easier.
It is. Listen, we're glad you joined us. And for the stories that we talked about today, you can find those on our website at olderandwiser.com. And just click on the news tab and they'll all be right there and read more details. Susan, thanks again.
Always fun.
See you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.